I think I would fight as hard as I possibly could fight, as many times, as many days, whatever is necessary for alignment. And I don't think the importance of that can be understated.
On this episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we are joined by Dwayne Osborne, the associate head coach at Youngstown State University. Coach Osborne brings a wealth of experience and leadership to the Penguins program, having spent 19 years as a head coach on top of 29 years of coaching across multiple levels of college basketball. His career includes successful stops at Glenville State, University of Charleston, and Texas Permian Basin, where he consistently built competitive, high-character programs. Known for his player development, expertise, and commitment to culture, Coach Osborne has guided numerous teams to conference championships as well as postseason appearances. His impact goes far beyond wins and losses, as he's been instrumental in mentoring young coaches and student-athletes alike. Now, in his time at Youngstown State, he continues to bring his passion for teaching, learning, and team building to the sidelines. In this episode, we talk about the biggest lessons he learned in his 19 years of head coaching experience, while also talking about what he would have done differently in today's coaching landscape as a head coach, and the biggest adjustment from being a head coach to stepping into an assistant role on someone else's staff. Please welcome to the podcast, Dwayne Osborne. Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. What's up, coaches? Welcome back, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. I'm Doug Caputo here with my guy, Alan Major. Today, we're excited to be joined by the associate head coach, YSU or Youngstown State University, Coach Dwayne Osborne. Coach Osborne, thanks for hopping on. What's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing? It's great to see you.
Yeah, thank you, man. We appreciate you jumping on, Coach. Thank you so much.
Coach, the great thing about you and your experiences so far is you have, one, a tremendous background. You have a bunch of different things that you guys have done, not only being most recently YSU. I don't say it too much on here, but I'm from Youngstown initially. So obviously I'm always keeping an eye on Youngstown State, and you guys had a tremendous career this year making it to the championship. And I'm sure there'll be a lot more growth coming in the future. But also just with your experiences, you've been, I know we were talking before here, but you had 19 years of head coaching experience, 11 at one university, and a ton of success at the University of Charleston. Just to dive into things, ultimately, we always really like to pinpoint what brought you into the coaching profession. So for young coach Dwayne Osborne, you're still young, coach, don't get me wrong, but young
coach Dwayne Osborne. That hurt.
He covered for himself real quick, though. You see,
I always got to make sure. But what ultimately got you into the coaching profession? Was there something that swayed you into that, or anybody who really helped push you into the profession?
Yeah, you know what? It's crazy. It goes really all the way back to my elementary middle school coach, Lynn Lane, who I'm still really close with. And just, he was so hard on me. And there were days that I thought, he just doesn't like me. I'm a terrible player, whatever it is. It's just all over me. But I was always I really cared about trying to make him proud, make him feel good. I wanted him to be excited that I was his point guard and all of that stuff. And then moving through high school, my high school coach, Chris Talent, I just loved him so much. I felt like he genuinely cared about me. I did not have him the whole way through all 4 years. I had him on the back end of it. And we have different coach before. And I was fine with, I think I can deal with a lot. We had some players that maybe didn't like some of the coaches or whatever. But for me, it was just that you were taking time to coach me, talk to me, yell at me, whatever it was. I just felt, hey, they care enough that they're going to do these things and try to invest in me. And as I continue to go on through at the end of the day, the moral of the story really is those guys had a great impact on me and my development as a person and how I viewed things. And for me, I want to try to do the same thing for the people I'm around. And I do believe that a part of my calling, so to speak, is not just thinking about that from the player's perspective. I try to think about my assistants. I love being a head coach was one of the best things. I really enjoyed it. And what I enjoyed so much was not just the relationship I have with my players, but the relationships I have with my staff. And those guys, I think they thought when we left Charleston, they were getting away from me. And sometimes I talk to them 3 or 4 times a day now. And so it's like that they might probably wish they worked with me so they could spend a little less time.
It's funny you mentioned that. I think I don't think coaching staffs realize what they do for a head coach. Just number one, just obviously having great chemistry is a big deal. Yeah. But
no doubt.
The ability to just every now and then to everybody just crack up in a staff meeting, what that does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do, because I'm thinking about that. I'm actually laughing a little bit because a lot of times the laughs centered around something ignorant that I'd done or crazy. And we just had such a great time. And I think you developed this camaraderie because you spend so much time with those guys. And it was a lot of fun. I am really thankful for the people that I have relationships with that I've worked with for so long. One of the things that makes our staff so much fun at YSU. We just have great dudes. I really am thankful for the opportunity to learn from them, be around them, and joke and laugh and cut up. And it's very special.
Yeah, going off of that, like the amount of times people say and come on these podcasts and say something very similar. One of the biggest things is be a good person, and then it'll help you excel in the profession. And I feel like, especially, I'll be the first one to say, as a young coach at one point, you start to think that's cliche and everybody says it and they just want you to be a good person. But it's like the amount of time, as you're saying, the amount of time you're spending with somebody, if I can't bear to be with you for one day, I'm not going to bear to be with you for a whole week, let alone months on end, especially being a car, have to travel across the country to go on a recruiting event or whatever it might be.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the older I get, the more I think about, I want to be around people on a day-to-day basis that are good people. They're going to help me better and fix some of my deficiencies and things of that nature. And so I think it's one of the things that makes our staff great here at Youngstown is we have a great leader, first of all, who is a really good basketball coach, but he's also a really good human. And then I think about guys like Danny and Evan Faulkner, who actually worked for me at the University of Charleston, and Anthony Johnson. Anthony Johnson picks on me constantly, and I just love that guy. I think he's amazing. His future is so bright. Mark Richmond, just, again, another guy that I've known for quite a while and coached against. He was at Notre Dame College when I was at the University of Charleston in the same league. And so as I think about just those guys and getting to be around them every day, it makes life a lot of fun.
Yeah. No, it's hard enough. I say this a lot. The people thing, and I'm dating myself. We're probably similar age. I'm probably older than you, Coach. I'm not sure, but that does become the deal. Mm-hmm. The older you get is that you realize it's hard enough to beat the other team by one point as it is.
That's right.
And so
it's really hard.
If you got to battle with another team day to day, just to get to the court and get ready to battle the opponent, because the opponents aren't going anywhere. You got to deal with them.
Yeah, that's right. The reality of the situation so much, I think, in that is that I'm a big quotes guy. I love quotes and love trying to take those things and bring them to life with the people I'm around. And one of the things when you're saying that came to my mind right there, one of the things that I really think about is all great empires are destroyed from within. And like so many times we think the preseason favorite or this certain team on our schedule is who is most dangerous to us. And in reality, for most teams at most levels, the most dangerous team to you is you. The most dangerous people that can really hurt you the most are the people inside the organization. And so to me, it's so important to try to make sure you have great people just on that front, as you said, because you're around them so much and they're going to know the ins and outs. And if you can't get everybody aligned and moving in the same direction, life's pretty difficult.
Yeah. No, you know what? I love that, man. I was talking to somebody about that several months ago. It was going to back into the season. And we ended up just talking about this very thing. And I just said, the best teams learn how to beat themselves first.
That's right. So well said.
Whatever that is.
Well said.
Can you beat yourselves because you have your own deficiencies that you got to look at every day on the floor, off the floor, transition D, whatever it is. Pick and roll coverage, but you're always trying to beat yourself.
That's right.
And if you can learn to beat yourself and iron out as many wrinkles as you can, obviously that gives you the best chance. But yeah, oh man.
Easy to play, hard to do.
Oh, no. No question. No question.
That's a gem. That is great.
No, Dougie, this guy's off and running, man. Let's go. I like that.
We should end this thing before I get on off the road.
No, heck no.
Coach, you mentioned about your head coaching career. And as I said in the beginning, you had 19 years of head coaching experience, the University of Charleston having 11 of those. And then the other ones being, now please correct me if I'm saying this incorrect, but University of Texas of the Permian Basin.
That's correct.
And then Glenville State College. Yeah. So I know you have a ton of head coaching experience on top of your 29-year coaching veteran, 8-time Coach of the Year award. So it's like you definitely have the accolades. You've had a tremendous career so far. Throughout that time being a head coach, right, what were some of the biggest lessons being the head, being the leader that you learned in those early years that you still use now as an associate head at YSU?
Well, that's a great question. I think the first thing that comes to my mind, I take pride, I think now probably again, being an older guy, doing it a while and being just vulnerable and transparent and saying, hey, this is what I did that was really dumb. I think I've said that to Ethan, my boss now, so many times, like, hey, you don't have to do this, but let me just tell you, and I'm telling you this not because I am a know-it-all, I'm telling you this because I actually screwed it up. And I don't want you to make that same mistake. And hopefully I can give him some guardrails because his future is like so bright. It's crazy. He's so good. But one of the things I think about is it strikes me from early in my career is I would go to these recruiting events and these showcases and see players and be like, oh, I want that guy right there. He's got all the wiggle. He can do this. And he step backs. Look at this shot. He made it so hard. If he can do that. And I really want to give a credit to Adam Collins, who is a very good friend and was a colleague as a coach who was really good and very impactful on me and my life and my career. And he really helped probably in a lot of ways, maybe save my career in some ways, because it was so true that I would go and I'd want the guy. And then we would end up signing this player and he would frustrate me to death because he didn't play the way I wanted him to play. And he sat me down and we had some hard conversations and some frustrating conversations because you go and get enamored by this guy and then you get him here and you want him to play in a totally different way than the way you saw him playing. And so it really brought to my attention, we've got to recruit guys and build a system that fits them, or we've got to say, this is how we're going to play. And you might be really talented, but we're looking for something specific or a specific set of skills. And I think I look back and I'm so grateful that he had that conversation with me, but I'm also like, I mean, that was really dumb on my part to do that. But I do think it's easy to get sucked into that. Oh, this guy just does this so well, or he can make hard plays. But what you really need more than somebody that can just be a flash in the pan is somebody who can come in and consistently do what it is you need them to do to be able to execute well for your team. And that's probably the first thing that sticks out to me of where my list of top 100 things not to do as a head coach.
But you know what? That's also great. That's great advice for an assistant, especially young assistants that we've all been there. We've been that young assistant that wants to impress the staff in a staff meeting about somebody you saw at some weekend event. And that's great. But number one, does this guy fit your style?
Yeah.
But then as you do your homework, is this a guy your head coach can coach?
That's right.
And that is more, I think that's the wire that a lot of young assistants trip over. I've done it.
Oh, yeah.
Where you just,
again, he'll be number two. I've done it.
You get seduced by the talent and you want to come to that staff meeting gung ho, or that recruiting meeting that following Monday or Tuesday and say, man, this guy can fill in the blank.
Yeah. That's right.
And you can overlook, is he one of us on and off the floor? Mm-hmm. Or can my head coach this guy?
Yeah.
And I'm glad you said that, because we talk about that a lot out here, for not just from a head coach's perspective, the guys that want to be head coaches, but guys that are currently, and ladies, currently assistants. That's a big one.
And then I'll say one of the toughest things that throwing into that category, now this is regarding D3, because I know Division I is complete opposite now, but it's, can the kid be able to pay, right? Now on the Division I side of things, it's, can we be able to pay the kid, right? And try to get to how much he wants. But at least from the Division III side, like, there's more than enough times you see a kid and you're like, oh, this kid looks great. but then he's maybe a lower income family that doesn't necessarily have the finances that's able to support, and he can't pay X amount of dollars for your school, and like all of those different things. So that's the one thing that I've, going off of your point, I've learned myself is make sure you get, don't just look at the bells and whistles. Try and find that kid who's actually capable of hitting all of those different categories, because that list that you have dwindles down quick.
Oh, yeah.
So going off of that, though, as we mentioned, you're 19 years head coaching experience, and then that transitions you into Youngstown State. So talk about just the biggest adjustment from going as a head coach to being an associate head or more of an assistant coach and having to take that step back. Was it a hard transition?
It's actually been a really good transition. And I think, again, I'm just so grateful for Ethan giving me the opportunity to be here and be part of our staff. I'm super thankful for him and just who he is. It's really funny. His twin brother, Evan Faulkner, on staff with us, was my assistant at Charleston in 2013-14. We won a championship. He left and I wanted to hire Ethan. And Ethan was in a full-time spot, but I had a part-time spot available. So I didn't have enough money to be able to get that done, but I tried to hire him. And so it's really interesting. I always tell people that I couldn't get Ethan because I didn't have the money to do it. I might need, as I'm saying that out loud to you, to dig into that. Like maybe he just says, hey, I don't want to, you know, attach my wagon to that horse, so to speak. And maybe I need to think that through a little bit. But the hardest part of it, I think, has been what most people would think would be the obvious. When you're a head coach for 19 years, you're used to being the decision maker, now the suggestion maker. And so I try to provide experience, lessons that I've had to learn the hard way, some things that have gone, and really try to invest the best I can that way into our staff and into Coach Falk. But it's taken me some time to adjust for sure. But I think, again, I'm grateful to be working for someone who really knows what he's doing. He's a really good basketball coach. I think he really cares. And it's been a lot of fun for me to be able to learn again from these guys. I'm a curious person. I'm a learner. I actually get, sometimes I need to wrangle my curiosity in, maybe because I can be like, hey, I think I'm going to go back and at 50 years old now or 49 and go get a degree in psychology. And 3 months from now, I'm going to be like, I don't think I really want to learn to play the piano. And I don't know where I'm going, right? I just have so many interesting things. I want to learn how to be a stock trader. Just what are you doing? I just love to learn. And one of the fun things about being at Youngstown is the perspective that everybody on our staff has is different. It's just different. And Mark Richmond and I were the only two people with head coaching experience on the staff 12 months ago. But I'd never been an associate head coach before, and Ethan has. And so I've been able to learn some of the things that he did and how he tried to operate with Jared. And I look at Anthony Johnson's, has been a player development guy, been at Ole Miss and the SEC and a bunch of different places. And his approach to things is different, and it has helped me to be a lot better coach. And I think Danny the same way. Like, that guy can do so much stuff. He can do so many things. He's well-connected. He's smart. He's unbelievable with the video stuff. I've been teasing him a little bit because I'm getting better. I don't know if that's saying much, but getting better with sports code. And I tell him, like, hey, you know what? I don't know if we're going to need you much longer. I'm really dumb. And then we'll get in there and I can't figure out how to play the video. And it's because I didn't plug the cord in or something. A lot of fun. We have a great staff. We have a great time. And usually I'm probably at the core a lot of the jokes, but I sure do love it and love them.
I've always tried to pick the brain of guys that have done what you've done, and they've been a head coach and then they're going back to be an assistant. And I think there's some great catchwords to use to introduce maybe something that you're thinking about, because the first instinct is saying, man, when I did this, this was really good. Yeah.
No, nope.
That's a well-intended thought, but it can sometimes way it
comes the wrong off, way.
Yeah, or just, and then you got other five other heads in the room looking at you like, hey, man, dial it back.
Yeah.
But I was picking somebody's brain on catchwords to use. Food for thought. Consider this. Think about this.
Yeah.
This could be another option for that. And we were just going back and forth. Now, it was really good just because it's not so much what you say when you've been a head coach and now you're an assistant. It's how you deliver the mail.
And delivery is so much.
Yeah. So do you walk up and knock on the door and hand it to the person, or you just got to make sure there's different ways you can put it on under the welcome mat. That's fine. Just don't throw it through the front dining room window with a brick tied to a brick.
Think about some of the times I think that I've done a good job on some days delivering things. And there's other times I walk out and I'm like, boy, if you could hear in my mind what I was saying to myself. Like, why would you say it that way? Or why would you do that? Or whatever it is. And it's hard because, again, I think probably like a parent a little bit. I've got a 21-year-old and an 18-year-old. And I think that so many times, like you said, it's so well-intentioned. I never want to be like, oh, let me tell you I had all the answers. I've won a bunch of games, but I've lost a bunch of games. And I don't have all the answers. But as a parent, you go through life and you know what it's like when your kids are in high school, and you know what it's like when people are talking about you, or you're in the dating process, or whatever it is. And some of the things that are so scary for them potentially that can come as a result of some bad decisions. And so you just want to be, you're not trying to overstep or relive your life through them. You're trying to help guide them and whatever. But again, even in that situation, there's a parallel in the delivery is so important. And sometimes I get it right, probably more times than not, I get it wrong. And so I've got to continue to work on that.
Yeah, no, there's a positive part because there is a conviction with what you know you're about to say.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So now it's balancing conviction and suggestion.
Yep.
Because if conviction takes over, then now it's the brick through the front window. We have the nail tied to it. Whereas you'd rather have suggestion take over, knowing that you have your conviction. But, hey, if coach rolls with it, great. If he doesn't, hey, coach, whatever you say. Because then when you walk out of that room, you want the players feeling this unified force of guys that's coming right at them. And that's the most important thing.
I think it's one of the great things about our staff now is we get in there and sometimes we don't all agree on the ball screen coverage or how we should attack the press or whatever it is. But I do feel like at the end of the day, when we leave that office, we've made a decision. Now it's our jobs to figure out how to make that decision work. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't help me or anyone else to say, I tried to tell them at the end of the day, we just failed because my name's not on that scoreboard. And my job is not really, even if it was, it's not to worry about that. My job is to serve our staff well. And so I think for me, if I can continue and make sure that on a day-to-day basis, I do that well, I think things will work out pretty well.
It's like a jury. It's like a jury. Everybody goes in the back room. Half of them think one thing, half of them think the other. And then by the time they come out, they got to make one decision. And if you got to stand by whatever that decision is, whether you believe it in it or not. Yeah.
But don't you always see on TV where they put the microphone in front of the one juror when they're walking out after the trial? Yeah, they were in there saying this, but I thought this all along. So, there's always that one they put the microphone on.
I disagree, but
how they figure out who it was, I don't know. But that's the person that always ends up with the microphone in front of their face. Because it happens. Yep. Like, yeah, we were 9-3, but I knew he was guilty all along. I don't know why they let him off. You know, that's the person that always ends up saying something.
Yeah.
But yeah, the key is don't be that person. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
So how is, I guess this is something going off of what you were just saying, the delivery of your message, being able to like, how does somebody work on the delivery of a message? Both of you have been head coaches and assistant coaches at high major levels, because working on your delivery, and this can even help young assistants too, I feel, because a lot of times, and I've noticed this, and I'll be the first one to say, this was something that I did too, as a young assistant at times where somebody asks a question, you feel like you got to answer it immediately because you want to show, oh, I already know. I know the answer. But then it's also, you should probably think about the way you're going to phrase it, the way you're going to say it. And because a lot of times young assistants are like, they put their hand up immediately. No, I got to be the one to answer this. I want to. So how does like a coach, whether it's an assistant coach or like, how do you work on that phrasing and the delivery of a message to not only the other coaches, but players?
Yeah, you know what is interesting is you're asking that question. The two things that immediately came to my mind were relationships and awareness. And so I actually have my master's degree in communication from West Virginia University. I like to tell everybody anytime something comes up, I used to tell this in recruiting a lot. We would talk about the importance of communication or we'd be in practice, whatever. But I graduated from West Virginia University, which was the number one communication program in the country at that time. And if you would go into just any library on campus, a lot of the textbooks are written by James McCroskey, Virginia Richmond, Matt Miller, people like that. And there's quite a few of those people, but those were my professors at WVU. And so it's crazy. You go in there, that guy taught me, and there's a laundry list of books there. It's pretty nuts. But so anyway, it was the number one communications program in the country at the time. And I think it probably, if it's not number one, it's still up there pretty good. But anyway, I graduated number one in my class with a 4.0. So I always tell people, if you graduate number one, from the number one place that effectively makes me the best communicator in the world.
That's right.
So I don't know that anybody's ever really bought that or whatever, but it's just kind of like a story and I'm sticking to it. But
it's a hell of a sell, whether they buy it or not. It's a hell of a sell.
Hey, I haven't heard anybody else tell me a better story yet on it, so I'm going to hang with it as long as I can. But
yeah. You know, who's John Maxwell?
I've never heard of him. You know? But I think about so much of the communication process. If you start with the relationships, the better relationship you have, the better you have the chance of delivering something. Oddly enough, what I'm saying has a chance to get delivered more frequently if I have a great relationship with the person I'm delivering the message to. And so to me, it's so much like the underlying part of it's so important is the amount of time that you have spent with someone. How much time have you spent developing a relationship? If you haven't spent very much, you probably need to think differently about that than someone that you've really spent a ton of time with. I'll use Danny. I don't know if it's the best example, but Danny, I've known for 15 months. Evan Faulkner, I've known for 15 years. Evan Faulkner, I've sat through 31 locker room sessions together. And a year ago at this time, Danny Reese, and I've sat through none. And you go through these things and you develop relationships. And I know that you care about me and you know that I care about you. I don't think that gives you a hall pass to just talk to people that you've spent a bunch of time with, crazy and reckless. The tendency, I think, the nature that we all have is who gets talked to the worst? Your spouse. Because you spent so much time with, I can just say whatever. I don't know if that's really the hall pass to do that and if that's going to be super effective. I think the second part of that is awareness, is just having some awareness for what you're thinking, what you want to communicate, what's the message you're trying to get across, and then what's the context of the environment you're in. And I think if you can figure out how to do those things well, then it gives you a better chance to be a better communicator and to get your message effectively delivered. And it's crazy, as I tell you, I've got this master's degree in communication. I'm almost 50 years old and this, that, and whatever. How many times I still don't do that great? There's times that I'm really good at it. And there's times it's, come on, man, that's calm 101 is what we would always call it. That's the basic stuff. How do you mess that up? And I think that's a lot, though, of what life is. You constantly are trying to be better. You're going to constantly make mistakes. And can you bounce back and learn from the mistake and try to not make it? Maybe that it's not that you never make it again, but maybe you just don't make it as frequently. Maybe there's a little bit more time in between those mistakes. And so hopefully we can do those things well.
Yeah, I love that, Coach. And I would probably even add for assistance, have two things in mind. Number one, the most powerful three words you can say as an assistant sometimes is, as a young one especially, is I don't know. Like, as a young assistant, do not be afraid to say I don't know, or I don't know, let me get back to you, I'll go find out, or whatever the case. Yeah. Those words, that's more powerful than fumbling over something and searching and Hamana, the old honeymooners, Ralph Cramden deal. Second thing is have multiple pitches in your bag, right? So the best pitchers in baseball are not one trick ponies. Sometimes saying it, that may be your fastball. The situation may require a curve or a slider.
Yeah.
So your fastball may be saying it. Your curveball may be texting it. Your slider may be writing a note on a notepad, school stationery, and just putting on coach's desk. Hey, coach, here's three things I was thinking about in the staff meeting today, but we didn't have time to mention it. So now you're delivering the same message, but the pitch is still getting to the plate, but some days it may need, maybe the fastball's needed.
Yeah.
But like you mentioned, a great thing is the awareness. And now the guy on the mound has the awareness. I'm not throwing this guy a fastball right now.
Yeah.
It's going to end up in the bleachers. So I'm going to throw a slider here and make him chase it because I got him on a 1-2 count. And I know exactly how it needs to be delivered. So that multiple deliveries of getting the message in different ways can be helpful as opposed to always verbally.
Yeah. Really good.
Man, I tell you what. See, that's why I love these type of things, because we could just take away complete one. I'm stealing quotes over here now, getting all these different things. I can't sit here and say I got a master's in communications. I got an undergraduate in communications, but apparently that does.
Not today, you don't. That ain't flying. That ain't flying today, Dougie. We got the guy with us today, so good luck with that.
Yeah, learn from the best to be able to be the best. So that's all you need, right? Perfect. Coach, going off of that, I mean, I'd like to stay on the track of you being a head coach, because I feel like when we were talking about that, so many questions just pop up, and I wanted to make sure to at least mention another one of these was. knowing what you know now, having had the 11 years of experience as a head coach, was there anything looking back on your time that you'd say, hey, maybe I should have done this differently? And I'm sure there's probably a thing or two, but was there anything in particular that you'd tell your younger self or you tell yourself as a head coach that, hey, do this differently?
Wow. Yeah, I think that there's probably tons of things I'd like to
have. Is your list as long as mine?
I just want to scroll, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I don't even know where to start. I think one of the things that I think that I needed to do better earlier is to operate with this clarity in my commitments. And so when I think about that, I'm thinking about as a leader, you need to, I needed to do a better job of knowing and executing what I actually believed in. And it's easy, I think, especially, I think back to when I was a first-time head coach, it's just so easy to say, okay, I've heard this guy do this, and I'm going to try to do all these quote-unquote great things. And it ends up becoming almost minutia a little bit. There's just so much going that you don't even really know what you're doing. And so it's easy when you get these first opportunities to chase and try to do something that's really just not you. It doesn't make you bad that this great coach over here does something that's different than you. The reality is great coach A and great coach B and great coach C all do some things similarly, but they all do some things differently. And so much of it isn't really a right or wrong as much as it's like, can you figure out how to make it work with the group you have? And like, I can take a team and say, just pressing doesn't work. But if Allen takes his team and he says, we're going to press and this is what we're going to do and how we're going to operate and execute it, and he can get everybody in his building to believe in that, then that means it's great. It doesn't make me a terrible coach because I can't do that or I can't get my people to do it. What makes it bad for me is when I try to do those things and copycat it almost and say, I really like this, but I don't even know the intricacies that go into it. I don't know the teaching points. I don't know these ins and outs. And I think back to how I tried to do that and how many times that maybe that tricked me up a little bit. And I love that again, just about our staff, Anthony Johnson, I'll use him as the example. He comes to my mind first on this, is that guy really understands from his experiences how he wants to play defensively. And he just knows exactly what he's trying to do. And he might see somebody else that he thinks they're really good defensively, but that doesn't really fit into what we do. So we don't worry about it. It's great. Might work for everybody else, but we have this system in place. And so I think it's something I've really learned from him is how much how deep his belief is in what it is he thinks is the best way to play defense. And so he just polishes that and continues to grow and strengthen himself in that. And he knows exactly what he's trying to do. And I really admire him for that. And I think back to when I was first doing it, I didn't always have that.
No, I totally relate. Yeah, you it's getting back to chasing what's sexy again, like we were talking about in recruiting. You actually do that because you may go to a clinic and then you hear four or five different things you really like. And now all of a sudden, you're bringing ingredients back from the grocery store that don't even fit what you like to cook.
You know? Yeah, but it's crazy. You said even about the clinics. You go to a clinic and you take 28 pages of notes. You come home, you're like, we got to rewrite the whole program. That stuff was good doesn't mean all your stuff's wrong or bad. And you know what I think that does, though, is when I think back to where I just did not do a good job with that stuff, is the most important thing I think that we can give our team and all of the people who are part of our program is to create trust and confidence. And I think it's the best gifts you can give to them, but it's really hard to effectively do that if you just aren't even sure yourself because you're chasing too many rabbits. And it's like the old saying, the guy who chases two rabbits catches none. And so you have to really hone in on what it is you believe in and how can you deliver that in a way that makes it work for your people.
Stick to your roots. Stick to your roots as a coach. That's the one thing. And I literally immediately think of during COVID, my mindset, this was what, 5 years ago now, I remember thinking, I was a 24-year-old going into being a GA. I'm thinking, all right, I got to find a way to come out of COVID successful. I started listening to all these different things. Bob Knight was one of them, of course, legendary, right? Everybody knows Bob Knight. So I start looking into him. And I'm thinking, I'm like, I'm not that type of person, but I got to find out how to be a screamer. And then I start, and then I'm like, you know what? Now I got to go look at somebody else. So then I started looking at Brad Stevens, and we were fortunate to be able to talk to him on here. I remember one of the things I asked him was just talking about his calm demeanor and how it's completely opposite from Bob Knight. And it's like, he said the same thing, and you just hit the nail on the head. Stick to your roots as a coach. Talk on what you have seen, the experiences that you have done. Do what you know, and then let the rest just fall on the plate. Don't try to be somebody you're not.
Yeah. No doubt. 100%. Hey, I've got a quick question, Coach, before Dougie lands a plane here. And this is probably a little bit more humorous because I remember mine. But what was your first head coaching moment? Like when you're like, okay, I'm officially off the city driving. I'm on the freeway now. Like that feeling we all got when we first get our license. I remember my
first one hand game. On the wheel.
Oh my gosh. I remember my first game and it was a loss. Gardner Webb came to Charlotte and they beat us home opener. Hey, welcome, coach. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
But the game was going 100 miles an hour. Yeah. And I remember Brad Brownell telling me the summer before my first year, he goes, Alan, just stay as organized as you can in those timeouts because those timeouts go fast.
Woo.
And I remember our first timeout, I just sat down and it felt like the guy said, okay, bring him out. What? I'm like, wait a minute, man. I haven't said a word yet.
Yeah.
What was your like, and again, I'm laughing at this. This is funny stuff but what was your kind of first, oh my goodness, this is different.
Yeah, I'll just probably play off yours. I don't know if I've got a great one, but I'll play off yours a little bit. I remember my first game as a head coach, we went to Minnesota Mankato, and they might have changed the name of their school now. I'm not sure for sure exactly on that, but they just won the D2 National Championship 2 years ago. And the guy that was coaching there then is coaching there now. And that was my first game. And so we go up there, and they had All-American. I'll never forget him, Luke Anderson. He was a Division I transfer from I don't know where, but I just got up there and it was just like, whoo, this thing is moving fast and we are not moving at the same speed and I'm not moving at the same speed. And I think so many times, I think it's one thing to get out there and say, okay, I can coach the offense or call some plays. I can get us in the defense or whatever we're going to run. But for you to be able to watch the game and be able to dial in all the adjustments it's one thing to say, hey, I called fist and we just ran. And we knew where we were going. It's another thing to say, how did they guard it? What's the adjustment? How can we put the best players in the right spots? And while that's going on, you're trying to come down and watch the defense and figure out the same thing. And oh, by the way, I thought the crazy thing was that, oh, by the way, we also need to sub at some point. This guy's been here for 30 minutes in a row. Yeah. Gotta have you over here. Let's put you in.
Starters are still in at the 13-minute mark.
Yeah, it's there's so much stuff going on. And it's just one of those things I always say, I can prep you and tell you all day long on what you're going to think and feel in the moment when that baby pops out and it's your first child. But until you get there, you just don't understand what that feels like. And some things you can prepare people for. Other things, it's just you have to experience it. And for me, I remember those days for sure.
Yeah, I heard Chris Paul say this recently, reps remove doubt.
Oh, yeah.
And what I liked about that is it's the same thing, right? It's one thing to coach a game. It's a whole nother thing altogether to feel a game.
Yep.
And that's when the game starts to slow down. Oh, like here to what's the farthest? What's Pluto?
The Grand Canyon.
Pluto's the farthest planet from the Earth or whatever that is. That's the range I'm going. But like, it's a whole different deal to coach a game versus feeling a game. Yeah. And it just takes time. Like you said, like you can't skip steps with that. You got to go through it. You got to get your head beat in. Then you got to beat somebody you're not supposed to. And then you nip somebody that you didn't think you would. And then somebody beats your head in that you think shouldn't have.
That's right.
All that is
a part of
over,
it.
Yeah. And then that 16 and a half year old now on the freeway is driving a little bit differently because they know that some people out here are stable and some people out here are crazy. And let me navigate the freeway because now I can feel the road.
Yeah.
I'm not just driving. I can feel the road. And that's the difference. But there's no take a quick sip of something or pop two pills and then you're good. That's the thing you need the most is the one thing you can't speed up. And that's experience.
That's right.
That's the toughest thing to be able to swallow, though. To be able to know, like, I need to get more experiences, but like just the reps.
And you're saying that's all your freshmen now. Like the kids that you recruit and they come in as freshmen, like you could tell them all summer long how college basketball is, or all spring. And now they arrive in the summer. And that first forearm shiver is unlike anything they felt.
That's right.
But then the 45th forearm shiver It's like, all right, this is the price of doing business. I got it. Yeah. It's the same thing. Kids go through the same thing. It's like the one thing that the freshmen need the most is December.
That's right.
Or January, but you can't skip steps and just jump.
Gotta go through the semester.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that, man.
Coach Osborne, there's one thing I want to do first. I know you said their names a couple times, but I want to make sure to at least personally give a shout out to Anthony Johnson and Danny Reese, two guys over at Youngstown State. We were fortunate to be able to have both of them on here, and we're fortunate to be able to have you on here, hear your story so far. And it doesn't mean we're done, because we do have another question here to wrap up, but really just bringing you back into that first coaching position, thinking back as and knowing what you know now, all the experiences that you have had, is there any advice you would share with your younger self starting in the profession, and what would that advice be?
Yeah, great question. I think I would, I'm pretty set in stone, I think, on this one. I feel pretty confident in this. I think I would fight as hard as I possibly could fight, as many times, as many days, whatever is necessary for alignment. And I don't think the importance of that can be understated. And I think that starts with your staff and who you're going to have around and who's going to be in the foxhole with you. And I think about my life and my career is so much better because of the men that I've hired. I think about just at Charleston, you know, what we were able to do. And so much of that was really the heart of that was at the core of who I hired. And I don't know if I have a bunch of great qualities. As a matter of fact, I know I don't have a bunch of great qualities, but I do know that I'm really good at hiring people. I think that's something I've done well and I'm very proud of. And I think about just you need to have these guys on the podcast. That's what you need to do. But Max Bent, I think about him. He worked for former YSU and current Utah State head coach Jared Calhoun. He works for him now at Utah State. And he is just so loyal, so intelligent, and he has exponentially helped me grow. I cannot tell you how much he's helped me. I think about Mika Stout, who was an assistant with me at Charleston as well. All these guys really that are coming to my mind are with me at Charleston. He is the top assistant at Lee University in Tennessee, a Division II school, and that guy's going to be in Division I like ASAP. It's quick. But his growth looks like what I want my stocks to look like. You know, I mean, it's not okay the long term and maybe in 25 years you'll see that you've made some money. It's really going places. And he's so caring. He loves people so well. His awareness for trying to grow and improve himself, wild. I think about Sidney Crist, who's an assistant at Winthrop, worked for me again at Charleston. Same thing. He's another guy that just genuinely, like, deeply cares about people and helping people move themselves along and improve and grow themselves and helping them be their best. He's so passionate and does that well. Keith Williams is a GA at Ohio U now and played for me for 5 years at Charleston, then joined our staff. Tough, high character, super competitive, knew our system in and out, was a great bridge with the players. Like Evan Faulkner that's here with us now. Like I get to work with him again. It's been awesome because of my relationship with him, but you know, he's with me at Charleston, and that dude really not only loves the game, but he really loves and cares about people. And so I think the alignment starts with who you hire and who's in that foxhole with you. And then that trickles down through the players and through the culture development program that we put in place, how we try to develop relationships with our players. So important. And as that goes, if your staff is in alignment with you and it starts to trickle down in the environment you're creating for your players, I think what happens is all of a sudden you have a bunch of people saying the same thing, communicating the same thing, rowing at the same time in the same direction. And all of that is so critical to being successful as a program. And I think about one of the things that we tried to say a lot was we want to identify talent and prioritize people. And we would, in my mind, I almost said it like, we're going to identify talent and then in bold, maybe hit bold on Microsoft Word for a little emphasis on prioritizing people. And when I think about our ability to do that is so much of at the root of why we were successful at Charleston. And like, you just can never over-prioritize people. It's just impossible. And so when you genuinely care about them and you love them and you spend time with them, it's not so that you can just say, hey, I need you to do this or I want you to do this. It really stems from your love and care for them. And you want to see them grow and be better. And to do that, it's not just you coaching them. It's you actually having an understanding of what do they think? Why do they think that way? What are their aspirations? All that stuff. And the more people, you think about the people you and I are around that take the time to ask you questions and to dig into you and spend time with you, they're showing you that, hey, I love you. I care about you. I want what's best for you. And so your natural response to them becomes what? I trust them. I believe in them. When they give me some feedback, man, I need to really listen to this. And so I think the alignment that you're trying to create all the way down top to bottom and then to push it forward, it's one thing to say we're aligned today. Can you do it 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row and push that forward? I think that's probably the most important thing that I would try to give someone as it relates to advice. Hey, was that bad? Can we start over?
I like to say out here, people have a bat flip. That was a bat flip. You jack one over the right center field fence and you take the slow trot, stare at the other team's dugout while you take the long jog around the bases and flip the bat towards the other team's bat boy type of deal. That was a bat flip.
Yeah. I appreciate it. It's one of those things. I think even that, let me just throw one more thing there that you say. That I think is so true. The bat flip comes for all of us when you do what you believe in. I started at the top of that saying, man, I'm chasing all these different rabbits, right? That is getting to the core of what I deeply believe. And I think all of us, our bat flip is found when you're doing what you believe in and you're operating from the core of who you are.
No doubt. Absolutely. Mm. That is swag.
That's personified. A full recap right there of the whole thing.
Yeah. Perfect. That is, yeah. Swag may have people talk swag with gear, but that's swag. That is.
He ever talks about swag with me, so I'm just glad.
That's all right. Somehow. That's, you got it. You have it, because when you know who you are and you're fearless with it, that's swag. It looks different for everybody.
Yeah.
Age, yeah. 25, 55, looks different for everybody. I've seen senior citizens with swag because the way they carry themselves and they're fearless.
Yeah.
And they're, you can just tell, like, you get a vibe that this person is fearlessly themselves.
And we all admire those people.
Oh, do we ever?
You're always admired.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. No, Coach, this was awesome, man. This was so good. Thank you.
No. Thank you very much. I know, and especially with watching you guys these past couple of years, and then especially this past season, you guys have gone above and beyond so far, and there's still a lot more to be able to go. And I know, especially, as I always say, I said it before, like, personally, I love to see you guys grow and develop, but then just regardless, Youngstown State is now on the map, and I shouldn't say now, I guess it's been on the map for some years now, but it is now more relevantly on the map, and the season that you guys had this past year was amazing. So,
they're not going anywhere.
No, I'm loving it.
Anywhere.
Yeah. I appreciate you guys saying that. We're super excited about where we're at with the program. And I think, again, what a lot of people in the world may not know who Ethan Faulkner is now, but they're going to know soon. And I think that he is unbelievable. Where he's taken our staff, our team, and how he's leading us, it is a lot of fun to be a part of. And I think he's got about 15 players and 5, 6, 7, whatever it is, staff members behind him. We're going to do whatever we can to make sure that guy is seen around the world like he should be.
Youngstown's Grit City, baby.
Grit City. Let's go, Gwynns.
Grit City. Yes, sir. Let's go, Gwynns. Coach, thank you very much for being on here. Thank you for sharing everything. We really do appreciate it. It is great to reconnect with you again. And wishing you the best of luck this upcoming season.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys and all you're doing. And it's fun listening to the podcast and hearing so many guys and their stories. And so thankful to be a part of that.
Yes, sir. But everybody else, thank you for tuning in. Another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. You got Alan Major and Doug Caputo here again. All you coaches, keep working, keep rising. We'll see you all soon.
Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines.
I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.